This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I like this music. Is that a hot take? Is that a bet? Sunday Night Football theme?
No.
It's good.
Like, would you listen to it in the car?
On the way to Sunday Night Football?
No, just in general.
Like today?
Today. On a random day, like, do you have a playlist where that would even come up?
That's a good question. I don't have that. Would it stop me? No.
Okay.
Would it be weird if you pulled up to a traffic light today and someone's just sitting there blasting this?
I mean, really, you could just have all the songs ready to go today, just driving around.
You could.
I think I'd get pretty fired up, except for the...
Fox? Would Fox get you going?
No, CBS would. Amazon would not. Don't we hate the Amazon one?
It's fine. Does Netflix have music?
I couldn't tell you. We had the sound down on Christmas last year, so I don't remember.
Howard's here. Hey, Howard, what's up?
Boys, how we doing?
We're okay.
Good.
How are you?
I'm ready for football. Joe, I'm with you. I was driving in today going, I could go for like maybe one more week off, and then let's get going.
Yeah, I'm good. A good June 1st start to the season.
Yeah, the heck with OTAs and minicamp and all that. Let's just go.
Yeah.
Let's move things up.
Let's play half the season in June and July, then you get 2 months off, and then, and then we'll come back and play the rest of it.
There you go.
I mean, I...
Split season.
I think I just gave them off in like September and October, which are the best football months, probably.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
A good point. Yeah.
Well, were you tracking every leak? The way yesterday went for me was, where are the leaks? Let's get some more leaks. And then 2 hours later, it was there are simply too many leaks.
I started to track it. I really did. And I'm with you. And my head started to explode. Who do you believe? Who don't you believe? Yeah. Wait, it's one game, but I want more. So I just stopped checking until the schedule came out. Although someone told me that there was, I think it was Yards Per Pass tweeted out the full schedule, and
yep,
I think that exactly was how it played out.
Yep.
So I did look at that about a half hour before the release, and I thought, yeah, I'm good with that schedule.
Yeah, I just wanted to know the Bills schedule. And I feel like everybody on the internet should have known don't leak me Cardinals games. I don't care. I just want the Bills schedule leaked. No.
Not sure the Cardinals fans care.
Here's Cardinals Chargers, week 12. Okay. And once if you're not, all I really wanted leaked was the important games and Christmas and
you
all
wanted
that
to
stuff.
Know that you could watch your Chiefs on both Thanksgiving and Christmas, get the kids together, you know, get the family together.
I've got a stat on that for you. The Chiefs are the first team in history to play
five primetime
games in the first 8 weeks of the season.
Good. Maybe they'll be worn down,
mm-hmm.
tired, fatigued, and start losing football games. Or maybe their luck will run out. Well, it did in the Super Bowl. But anyway, I got ahead of myself.
The Chiefs are also playing on Memorial Day and the 4th of July, by the way, and Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Flag Day.
You make one road trip. Which is the, if you could only go to one road game.
Well, I got to be careful here because I don't want all the tee times to book up at every course, but we're trying to go to Carolina.
Shh.
But there's a lot of courses.
Keep that a secret.
We're trying.
Joe Marino's probably got
Carolina.
Listen, we'll talk about it with Joe. We're all trying to get to Carolina. We're all trying to play the best courses in Carolina and see the Bills play the Panthers, in part because it also might be the kind of stadium you could actually get into.
Is Quail Hollow a public course?
No.
It is not.
There's another. North Carolina has another. No, they're like
Pinehurst.
Pinehurst.
Got some major courses.
Tobacco Road, Pine Needles. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just, there's a million to choose from.
Past that, though, I think this is the year for the Miami trip, for the average Bills fan.
Look at you.
The Miami trip. It's in November, and the road schedule in totality isn't like elite.
The Finn season will be over by then.
Destinations.
Be a lot of Bills fans in the stadium.
Although it might be a good time to end their season. Yeah. It depends what type of year they're having. Last year they ended the Dolphin season in week two.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a good trip. Good. You should experience a Bills Dolphins game in Miami at some point. Everybody should.
Houston, Atlanta. Not to say it wouldn't have fun in these cities, but they're not like cities I've ever like, I gotta get to Atlanta someday.
Yeah.
There is a crossover if you want it. Brent Axe from Syracuse pointed out that SU plays Miami the same week the Bills play Miami. So you want to go see Syracuse football and Fran Brown, you could do the back-to-back.
Will they be worth it this year?
They
lost their quarterback, right? The kid who was really good.
Yeah, maybe.
Did they get Notre Dame's backup or something, though?
They've got a couple different options.
Okay.
You know, who knows?
Drove by the Dome the other day, thought of you.
Thanks.
In beautiful Syracuse.
Yes.
It's always going to be the Carrier Dome, by the way.
It's lovely this time of year, Syracuse.
It is. It was very nice.
That's what I'm told.
Wait, does that mean that they'll be tearing up the field the day before in Miami?
I think they play at a different stadium. They don't play at that stadium. They play at the...
The U?
Yeah.
I thought they play at the same stadium.
Do they?
I'm pretty sure they play at the same stadium.
Hey, is the Orange Bowl still in existence?
I don't know.
Where else would they play if they don't play at Hard Rock?
I'm pretty sure Miami plays their games at Hard Rock.
You're right. It is Hard Rock. Okay, so, yes, they will play there the day before.
Ooh. All right.
Tell them to take good care of the surface.
Yeah, maybe.
Syracuse and Miami. I'm looking at the full schedule here. It is Hard Rock Stadium, November 8th. Okay.
We were talking about how the Ryder Cup almost lined up with Bills Jets, but it missed it by like 12 days.
So stay
the next time. The next thing that could line up is when the hockey schedule comes out. Like, could you match up a couple times with the Hurricanes? And no, that'll be too. Well, October 26th, there'll be games there for Carolina. So we could do all that.
Yeah.
One thing, if anybody thinks this way, you know, it's kind of like the draft. We have all our mock drafts, then the draft happens, and then the next day somebody posts the following year's mock draft. So I'm just going to do that. Next year's opponents.
Oh, my God. We're not picking 2 years worth of games, are we?
I'm just going to tell you next year's opponents.
Yeah.
You're thinking, should we have a big road trip this year? The road schedule's not that great. Next year, the Bills go to Vegas.
Oh, nice.
They go to Denver.
Very lovely city.
Green Bay.
Never been there?
I feel like
you should go to Lambeau at one point.
Minnesota.
Very good.
And then the crossovers, the AFC South and the NFC West. The South, probably not going to be anybody too exciting. But the NFC West, that could be the Rams.
Who are in Australia.
And that could be Australia.
Ooh, that would be a nice trip.
Or that could be a return trip to, Arizona, San Francisco,
No international
Seattle.
Game this year, so they'll get one next year then, right?
Probably, yeah.
Makes sense to send Josh Allen and the Bills somewhere international.
Yeah. And coming here next year, Lions, Chiefs again. Bears, Chargers.
Yeah, because we have a bet on what the first game at the new stadium will be.
New stadium.
That's right. I forgot about that bet.
Wow.
I've got Chiefs, Patriots, Jets, and Bears. Are the Bears on there? Who would they play the North? Right?
Yep.
And then you have Dolphins, Chargers, Lions, and whoever the AFC North opponent is.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
It's got to be the Chiefs, right? Bills, Chiefs, first game ever.
Chiefs, that is over.
It's a bad pick.
Come on. Thursday night season opener, Bills hosting Chiefs. It's a must.
803-0550 if you want to chime in. All right, Howard's going to pick the Bills. We've been, dawdling long enough.
And by the way, so I was just reading Cynthia Freeland in the break. She just had her projections. She has the Bills at 11.4 wins.
Over.
That point four Howard is going to be tough.
I think Howard will have them over. The point four will be tough.
You never know. What if they're going like 9-8, huh? Just maybe. When you think you know the answers.
Go ahead. You pick them to go 9-8
right
now. I change
the questions.
All right, let's do it. Howard picks the Bills.
A tradition unlike any other.
We remodeled our family room. We got rid of all the furniture, pulled up the carpets. We're redoing the whole room, which makes it inaccessible. She said, can I watch the game with you Sunday? And of course I said no.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
I don't want to do that.
What? Can't I just sit in the corner and drink?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Okay, first edition 2025 pick of the Bills. Here we go. It's a juicy one right off the bat. Baltimore.
Do we like a Sunday Night Football home opener?
We love it.
And have we prepared our... Have you gone through your menu for all your home game tailgates?
No. We don't have time to make food anymore.
Really?
No. All we do is make mac and cheese and, you know, we don't have time for
Cheerios.
Food.
No crab cakes
dry,
for the
dry
opener?
Cheerios no. on the
Cheerios?
Menu?
Yeah.
No,
wow.
I think we're probably past
no
that.
Time for food.
Well, I'm...
How do you like the matchup?
Yeah. I think I'm okay with this. I think... I don't know that Baltimore's going to have some questions on defense. I know they added DeAndre Hopkins. I just saw they re-signed or extended Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their offense is still going to be really good. I will say I think this is a really cool game to open up the season with. It's the toughest game of the first, month and a half, 2 months in the schedule. I will take the Bills because you can't open the season at home with a loss to the Ravens. They're going to beat Baltimore. Sunday Night Football, final year at the stadium. Everybody will be pumped. That's a big win.
One thing I'll say, we got into this a little bit earlier, watching a return trip, whatever, for Baltimore here, two things you want out of that game. You want the defense to play better because they gave up 10 yards per pass in that game. They did get three turnovers, but they got carved up defensively.
Well, the run defense in the first meeting last year wasn't exactly
That's true.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And then in that playoff game, offensively, they did not do very much.
Right.
Joe had it up here. Allen hit Shakir on a 3rd-and-8 on the first drive. And after that, the Bills' passing game did nothing.
Hmm.
They had 127 yards passing on the day. Allen was bottled up. The offense did not run or pass well. They got a couple turnovers. They got the job done, of course. But a Baltimore matchup is a challenge on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, the Bills made big moves to overhaul their defense and make it better. We'll know right away if some of those moves paid off. Granted, the two guys are suspended, but you still have everybody else on defense to face Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I'll take the Bills.
Yeah, by the way, that game on that chart. So that one pass to Shakir early, Josh never completed a pass that traveled more than 7 yards in the air the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Yikes. Did not know that.
Very short.
Keep a win, though.
Bills win over Baltimore. At the Jets, Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean... Aaron Glenn, okay. I just think the Jets keep trotting out guys that just don't move the needle for me. I don't know that Justin Fields is going to do that well. They lost DJ Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line. I just don't see the Jets doing much of anything this season, so I will take the Bills to win.
Bills win 2-0. Thursday Night Football, home against Miami.
This is the end of the Mike McDaniel era with the Dolphins, right? This is it.
I think
they have to actually make the playoffs and probably win a playoff game because all they do is lose to good teams on their schedule. Yeah,
and they're not exactly set up to be that team this year, I don't think.
No. Are they still going to trade Jalen Ramsey? Is he still there, by the way?
They've made it sound like if they can't trade him, they will find a way to cut him. So, yeah.
All right. Well, their cornerback depth is very bad. They lost Javon Holland. I love the pick of Kenneth Grant. I think their defensive line will be really good. But... it's Miami, and they can't beat good teams. And Josh owns the Dolphins, so chalk up a win for the Bills.
Win started 3-0. Home against the New Orleans Saints. What will the spread be?
So it might be 20.
Wow. I mean, Bills by 45?
That's a party game.
I'll take the Bills.
Bills win. 4-0. Home New England Sunday Night Football.
I like the coaching hire. I'm not a huge Vrabel guy, but let's face it. He's an upgrade over what they had. And I really liked some things I saw in Drake May last year. This is, of course, the Stephon Diggs and Mac Hollins revenge game.
Oh, yeah.
But I think New England will be improved. I know they spent a ton of money. They tried to, you know, help out their defense. I think they will be better, but they're certainly not in the class of the Bills. Take the Bills to win the game.
Bills win. I'm looking for any other former Bill on this roster that's a little further down the depth chart, but I don't see any.
Alex Austin. I don't know.
Who?
Cornerback Alex Austin. Was he with the Bills?
They drafted him in the sixth round. Okay. That's like hardly qualifies. So.
Okay. There you go.
I was looking this up the other day. I'm not just walking around with that information.
Don't even remember this guy.
Yeah.
Bills win. Back to the schedule. At Atlanta, Monday Night Football heading to the bye.
Did you know another revenge game? Falcons added Leonard Floyd.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Spend some draft picks to help their pass rush. I will tell you this. Two things here. One, I was always a Michael Penix fan in college. I thought he was really good. And I like to throw a curveball every now and then. So I'll take the Falcons to win this game.
Michael Penix.
Wow.
I always like to keep the Bills fans from getting too cocky. You know, you got to keep them grounded. So I'll throw a loss in there.
This is also does Ray McLeod have a big day?
Oh yeah, he'll probably. Is he still doing returns?
He's listed as their kick returner.
Yeah, he'll return a touchdown.
Okay. Kick, wow. Yeah. Bills lose to Atlanta.
You know, their bye is coming up. They made vacation plans. When I worked with you, Friday shows before I went on vacation, you probably covered 3.5 of the 4 hours. I mean, mailed it in. So, yeah, I'll take a loss.
Out of the bye week at Carolina.
Well, the Bills have never lost out of the bye week, right? Under Sean McDermott?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. Yep.
So let's continue that. I think there will be tons of Bills fans in the crowd at Carolina. Mm-hmm. And Carolina's defense was poo last year. Can you say poo on the air?
They were
really bad. I like Bryce Young. I thought he made some really nice strides last year, but their defense should get just crushed by the Bills.
Bills win. Home Kansas City. We begin the 425 slate.
Chiefs are done, right? The Chiefs era is over, right? Wasn't the Super Bowl the official beginning of the end?
Do you think that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I mean, they'll win their division. But I don't think we look at Kansas City as the gold standard anymore. I don't.
That's going to be an interesting thing to track this year.
What
they were last
year. Their margin of error last year was so fine.
If they have the same season they did last year, they're not going to win 15 games.
Right?
I agree with that. But
they're going to win 10.
They had a fatal flaw built in.
That's true.
And do they still have it? The offensive line?
Well,
their offensive line was a mess.
Right. They changed their tackle spot. Who they signed?
They got rid of Joe Thuney, and they brought in the dude from San Francisco. The reaction when they signed him was, this guy's not very good, and you overpaid him.
And they drafted their first-round pick
but
was
that
a tackle.
Guy,
they tagged Trey Smith.
They like the rookie, though. He just has injury stuff.
And they drafted wide receiver Jalen Royals, right? Anyway, I think the Bills will win. I mean, it's the regular season. They always beat the Chiefs.
This will be 5 in a row.
Is that what it would be?
They would beat the Chiefs in the regular season.
Wow. I'll take it.
I mean, Andy Reid's not showing his stuff, though. Of course they're going to win.
Well, let's hope they don't play him in the playoffs again. I can't handle it.
The Chiefs went offensive line, two pieces on the defensive line, a corner, a wide receiver, a linebacker, running back.
Yeah.
Rashee Rice is probably back by then, if he even is suspended.
And Hollywood Brown resign? He's still there, right?
Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy would, if everyone's healthy, would be their three receiver duo for that game.
Sure. Whatever, we'll probably have plenty of time to talk about the Chiefs. I do not think that they are done. I think what we just watched was two straight years where they were very gettable.
Yeah.
And the Bills didn't get them.
Nobody got them.
Well, that's not good. The Eagles got them.
That's troubling.
But the Bills, you know, should be, of course. You're picking the Bills to win?
Yeah.
Bills win. Bills beat the Chiefs. At Miami.
Sweep.
Home Tampa, 1 o'clock.
I think Tampa's a strange team. I was thinking about this game, and I was thinking a lot about the game here a couple years ago, which was a major struggle before they beat them by, one touchdown? It's an ugly game. I think that's, one of those games that you think there's no way the Bills are going to lose, and I think Tampa comes in here and sneaks out with a win.
Two NFC South losses. All right.
At Houston, Thursday Night Football.
Houston, they had to be disappointed, right? They were like the trendy pick after 2 years ago, and then they were kind of disappointing last year. I mean, they did have some really injury issues at wide receiver, their offensive line, and I think they've tried to address some of that in the offseason. Their defense was still really good, and they definitely went out to try and bolster their wide receiving core. I think Houston will bounce back. That is a short week and a road game. I think that's a tough thing to pull off against a good team, which should win their division. I will take the Texans.
Wow. All right. At Pittsburgh, 425. Likely Aaron
Who's
Rodgers.
Quarterbacking?
Don't you dare pick this game. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's the Steelers. The Steelers will do what they always do. They'll finish over 500. They might make the playoffs, but they won't be very good at all. So I'll take the Bills.
The Steelers' schedule is almost the same as it was last year, where it starts off nice and soft, and they're going to get to like 5-2, and people will talk about them as being good.
Yeah,
their close of the season, they close starting in week, let's go to week 10. Chargers, Bengals, Bears, Bills, Ravens, Dolphins, Lions, Browns, Ooh. Ravens.
Woo! The Browns is the easiest game in there.
Yeah.
But it's not. Wow, that's tough.
They open Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, Vikings, Browns.
Okay, so like, they could get some steam going
but
there.
Watch them get to 6-3. Is Pittsburgh contending? Tomlin's doing it again.
Yep.
9-8.
He'll be all banged up by that stretch anyway.
All right, so Bills over the Steelers.
Yes, sir.
Home Cincinnati.
For those keeping track at home, 9-3 he's got, by the
this
way.
This game, you know, Burrow, obviously Joe Burrow scares me, but it comes down again to their defense and whether their defense will be trash like it was last year. I'm going to say it can't be as bad as it was. I mean, right? Weren't they losing games, like scoring 30-plus points and losing games?
It could be. I mean, it's tough Henderson to be is as still bad there, as they
right?
were.
Henderson's not like sitting out or anything, right?
He said he's not playing under this contract.
Ooh.
So
well, that would change things.
They have a dilemma.
They did go heavy in the draft on defense, so maybe those guys helped them improve a little bit. I am actually going to pick the Bengals in this game.
Bengals.
Largely based on Joe Burrow, but this would be a great test of, hey, the Bills tried to fix their defense in the offseason. How do you do it against Joe Burrow?
Hmm.
3 out of 4 losses.
Can I ask you, you know, they got 3 out of 4 losses. They are, what's it, 9-5?
9-4.
9-4. They're 9-4 with 4 games to go. What is it that is happening here? Why are they losing?
I think it's you guys and your negativity, personally. My guess is this show is just crushing these guys at this point, and it probably is weighing on them.
Yeah, right.
Mentally.
That might be right.
Why are they losing? I would say it's still the defense would be the biggest issue at that point.
At New England.
Sweep.
Sweep, win.
Yeah, I think they'll run the division table.
Basically. At Cleveland.
I mean, could they be more of a tire fire than they were last year? Yes.
Who starts for the Browns? Shedeur Sanders?
Such a good question.
Flacco?
Flacco's
done by then, right? Yeah, Shedeur Sanders. Why not?
Home Philly.
That's tough because everybody's talking about why did they put that game at the end of the season? Would it mean anything for both teams? So I understand all that. It isn't. What happened to you? We don't close with 3 division games anymore. That's not a. I will take the. I'll take the Bills. Revenge for the loss in overtime in Philadelphia a couple years ago, whenever it was.
So the record is 11-5 right now.
11-4 going into the final game of the season.
Well, we're missing one because there's 17 games.
12-4.
12-4.
Sorry, 12-4.
Yeah. Yep.
12-4. The losses to Atlanta, Tampa, Houston, and Cincinnati.
Yes.
So 12-4.
Yeah.
Does a win over the Jets, 13-4, mean the first round bye? Does 13-4 get a bye?
I don't think so. Well, Houston's going to win, right? Kansas City to win their division.
The good news is
you have wins over Baltimore and Kansas City.
So maybe it will.
Maybe it will. Maybe they'll have a tiebreaker.
And those two teams both, in my opinion, have tougher division slates.
Yep. So Bills, Jets, too. You're picking?
I'll take the Bills.
Bills. 13-4 with some surprising losses. But, I mean, everybody would probably take 13-4.
Oh, I'm sure I'll hear about the surprising losses. Someone will yell at me for ruining their trip to Atlanta.
Yeah. I would bet you're favored for the one seed.
Did you guys make official picks yourselves? Have you kicked around a number at all?
Not really.
I picked the Patriots.
So you're just hanging me out to dry every time we do this.
Yeah, we're not allowed to pick the Bills. You have a copyright or trademark on that.
I'll sell it to you.
I'm broke.
Franchising. Yeah.
You're broke?
I'm broke.
Aren't you saving up for college?
No.
Okay, don't worry. You got a few years.
Yeah.
All right. Nice to see you, boys.
Thank you.
As well.
I'll see you at training camp or whatever. We'll talk in the summer.
Sounds good.
All right.
Howard picks the Bills, 13-4. I do like that question about the Chiefs. Maybe we'll kick that around. It's like the idea that do people think they're done? or that they are not the same anymore?
I got a good thought on that.
All right. 803-0550. Not the gold standard anymore. In that case, who is? Jeremy and Joe. Thank you, Howard. We'll back in a moment. Wide open phone lines. What do you think? Howard, overplay it, underplay it, 13-4 on Howard Picks the Bills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
A little bit transpired between me and Zach. We've tried to keep it as least amount personal as possible, but at some point in this process, it becomes personal. You know, being sent 30 days before mandatory camp or however many days it is, that if I don't show up, I will be fined, alludes to the fact that something won't get done in that time frame. With the lack of communication post-draft, made it evidently clear for my party that I had to inform that this might not work out. And that's unfortunate.
By now, you may have heard a lot more from Trey Hendrickson. It was all over the place yesterday and, you know, really kind of went viral, some of the things that he was talking about and said, his situation with the Cincinnati Bengals. And right there on the scene, reporting on it and now talking with us about it here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, is Kelsey Conway, beat reporter for the Cincinnati Bengals for the Cincinnati Enquirer. And Kelsey joins us on schedule release day. We'll get to that as well. But Kelsey, thanks for doing this today. Really appreciate you coming on board here this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. You got it. Let's go back to Trey Hendrickson talking to the media. What did you learn? Anything new? Anything surprise you through that, I think, close to half-hour session with him?
I would say the most surprising part of it was just Trey Hendrickson's frustration with Zach Taylor. And it's not often that a player speaks out against his head coach in the way that he did. So I think that first and foremost was what stood out to me, because Zach Taylor is known for being a very player-friendly coach and someone that has always had Trey's back when asked about contract things and how the whole process has played out with Trey Hendrickson. So for Trey to kind of air out his dirty laundry of, you know, his conversation with his coach was certainly noteworthy. And then as far as other big takeaways from what Trey was saying is he used the word disappointed a number of times, and that seems to be the theme of why he made the decision to come and talk to us. So Trey hasn't been around the Bengals all off season, and obviously nobody was expecting him to be given his current contract situation. So for him to have planned out to make an appearance, to be seen, not practicing, he knew what he's doing. He wanted us to all shoot those pictures and the videos of him being on the field. And for him to then, as someone who doesn't really talk to the media much during the season, orchestrate an impromptu press conference in which he talked about his disappointment and the lack of communication from him in the front office, and he's not going to apologize for the defensive end market resetting. I think the other main noteworthy topic was that he said he wouldn't play this upcoming season on his current deal. So now the decision is going to have to be either he takes what the Bengals have given him at this point, which doesn't seem likely, or the Bengals come up with a better offer, ideally before training camp. But I think my main takeaway from all of it is I don't see how this situation gets solved anytime soon.
Do we know any numbers that they've offered or what he's asking for? Here in Buffalo, we're going through the James Cook situation, and he's kind of been public about like $15 million. Like, that's kind of a number we know. Do we know anything about Trey or what the Bengals think about Trey and any numbers there?
Well, they've tried to keep the numbers out of this. At some point, I think they'll come out. But what we do know is that the numbers haven't met Max Crosby's contract, and we know what Max Crosby's contract is, because Trey said yesterday, you know, I believe like I'm in that category with the Max Crosby's of the world. He's not asking for Myles Garrett's money. I can tell you that much, but I think you're looking at a range for Trey that is anywhere. I mean, Danielle Hunter's contract and Max Crosby's are the ones that I think when you're looking at what is a comp that he and his camp believe he deserves. And to this point, if he had been offered Max Crosby type money, Trey Hendrickson wouldn't have been holding a press conference with us yesterday. Right. So I think you can read between the lines here and know that the Bengals offer to that point hasn't reached Max Crosby's or Danielle Hunter's. And that's where I'm curious to see where the situation goes, because the other thing Trey said is it's about long-term security for him. He said to this point, all the offers from the Bengals have been on a more short-term basis. And he's going to be 31 in December. And I don't necessarily blame the Bengals for wanting to put themselves in a situation where they're protecting themselves of an aging player and not having money tied up down the road in future years. But at the same point, then there's got to be give and take, right? Like, then you're probably going to have to come up on the AAV, or you're going to have to come up on the guaranteed money if you're going to take a shorter deal. So I think that's why these two sides, they still got a lot to figure out, and there's got to be give and take on both sides. And right now they're not even communicating, which is, I think, what is frustrating him the most.
And by the way, so if everybody's wondering, Crosby signed a 3-year, $106.5 million extension back in March. So that's the kind of numbers that, you know, Kelsey's talking about here. Kelsey Conway here on the West Her Hotline. This is a tough one for me when it comes to the Bengals, because they've always been the poster child for a lot of people to say they don't pay players. But they did go out and pay Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, right? But they are and Joe Burrow. There's only so much money to go around here, though. Do you get the sense it's one of those things where, well, they don't pony up? Or is it really just, hey, we can't pay everybody, right? That's just how this business works, and we already have a bunch of stars we're paying.
The Bengals have the money right now. They're in really good cap space shape, and they have the money. I think it's a matter of Trey was always going to be the last in the pecking order of, we call him in Cincinnati, the big three. So when the offseason started, it was all about the big three. What's going to happen with them? Jamar was always priority number one. I didn't, at the combine, an interview with his agent after the two receivers signed their contract, even T. Higgins' agent didn't think at the combine the Bengals were going to sign T. Higgins to a long-term deal. Things changed pretty quickly, and then they decided, well, if it makes the most sense for us to lock up these two, given the agent, it helped Jamar's deal get done, having that relationship with his agent. It helped the negotiations with T. Higgins, and they decided, okay, we're going to pay those two. It has never felt to me that Trey Hendrickson has been of the same level of importance to them in terms of making sure a deal got done immediately on this entire time. That's where I think he's the most hurt, because he doesn't feel valued by them. And that's why he said he was upset with Zach Taylor's text, is because he said, I'm receiving a text 30 days away from when minicamp would start, and the text read that basically there's not going to be a deal done before then, so either show up or we're going to fine you. And that's where his frustration lies, is that he doesn't feel like the team necessarily is doing everything they can to make sure Trey feels wanted and respected, and that they really value him. Meanwhile, the Bengals will go on, you know, in press conferences and say they value him, but then Katie Blackburn at owners meeting said, you know, we think Trey should like the deal that we gave him already. So it's just never felt like it's of the same level of emphasis for the Bengals front office to get the deal done with Trey as it was with Jamar and T. Higgins.
And he really kind of made it known. He wants to be in Cincy, right? This isn't a case where a player is angling to get out. It feels like he's upset and disappointed because he wants to stay in Cincinnati.
Right, and that's not something that you necessarily hear all the time. He wants to stay in Cincinnati. His family really likes it here. Trey is not really a flashy guy. He doesn't do a lot outside of play football. And so that's why he's hurt, because he's saying, I want to stay here. But, you know, to bring up the Bengals side of this, like, he signed that one-year extension back in 2023, and they have every right to say, you are under contract. We do not have to, you know, we gave you an offer that we felt is fair and is in line with what we think of you, and either you can take it or leave it. And that's what he's going to have to decide. But yesterday he told us there's no way he's just going to not take their offer and just play this season out on his current deal and get out of Cincinnati. It's all about long-term security for him. So that's where I'm fascinated to see where this goes. Does he get so frustrated during training camp that he's not there and not playing, and he just says, you know what, I'm just going to take their deal so that way I can at least have a couple years of security? Or if he's going to get so fed up with them that this bleeds into, are we talking about week one? Is Trey Hendrickson willing to sit out a game?
Kelsey Conway joining me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on the Wester Hotline. All right, Kelsey, so he's part of a defense that they moved on from the defensive coordinator. They have to kind of really fix that side of the ball. We know how dynamic they can be on offense, the Cincinnati Bengals. What have they done on defense? How important is it to have Trey Hendrickson on the field, given what happened last year, what transpired, and where they are right now on the roster?
That's the thing. They obviously, as you mentioned, moved on from Lou Anarumo. They hired Al Golden, who I think is going to make a lot of important changes, specifically in the linebacker room. Everything I've heard is that he's kind of brought a new level of urgency to that group, and they need better linebacker play. But the Bengals are in an interesting situation because they need Trey Hendrickson to win games the first week of the season. Because, as you know, the Bengals, what's crippled them the last couple of years is their awful starts in September. They continuously put themselves in these 1-3 holes, and it kills them. They need Trey Hendrickson to win games in September, and they need him to be at his best, because the pass rush, in my opinion, for the Bengals is still probably the most suspect part of that defense. I thought they were going to add a more pass rushing defensive tackle either in free agency or the draft. They didn't. They obviously drafted Shamar Stewart in the first round, and they're hoping that he can, you know, give them a presence on the edge, but he's also not practicing right now. So there's a lot going on right now that's not necessarily great for the Cincinnati defensive front, if you're asking me. This is the unit that needs to take the biggest step. they've got some work to do with figuring all of that out. And I know it's May and all of this isn't necessarily the most important thing, but it is noteworthy. And so I think that it would be in the Bengals' best interest to get both these contract situations figured out with Trey and Shamar so that they can start fixing that defensive line. They drafted two linebackers, which is telling of what they thought about their linebacker play last year, to draft two out of four rounds to go at the same position. So I think that they're hoping that the middle of the defense takes a step and that'll help the pass rush. But honestly, some of the bigger questions are the secondary, and you don't even talk about it with the Bengals much because there's other areas that are worse. But they, you know, Cam Taylor, Britt, and Dax Hill are two players that come in with a lot of question marks. Dax Hill's coming off of an ACL injury, and Cam Taylor Britt was supposed to be their number one shutdown corner, and he got benched multiple times last year. So there's a lot of questions and not enough answers right now, but that's okay because it's May. But the Bengals defense from an overlooking view is still got a lot of pieces that they got to put together before we can really decide what we think that unit could look like under Al Golden.
You mentioned their poor starts. They lost to the Patriots at home last year to start the season. We've heard a lot of rumors about Bengals at Bills to open the season Sunday Night Football, but I'm hearing now that's probably not the case. I love the schedule. We love it here in Buffalo. We're trying to put the schedule together. But I would anticipate the Bengals will be featured a lot on prime time because they have all of that star talent. And you're probably putting that together as well today in Cincinnati, thinking about where they're playing, who they're playing, and maybe even coming to Buffalo for a night game this year. Who knows?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that Joe Burrow versus Josh Allen won't either be a primetime game or be like the 425 CBS game. You know what I mean? Like that's a game that those schedule makers love, that quarterback matchup. Selfishly, I'm hoping it happens earlier in the season so I'm not stuck in the snow in Buffalo.
We get that a lot. It's okay. We get that a lot.
It'll be a good one. And you know, that for what it's worth, the Bengals have had the Bills number when it comes to, there's a lot of teams that aren't necessarily a great matchup for the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals struggled against the Cleveland Browns for years and the Ravens have kind of presented problems and obviously the Chiefs, but the Bengals, they've matched up well against Buffalo, but it's been, you know, they didn't play each other last year. So Buffalo's taken some steps to improve since the last time in that snow game, that playoff game between the Bengals and the Bills. So I'm looking forward to that matchup because I know that Buffalo probably felt like, man, this Joe Burrow guy like has our number. And now I'm wondering if the Bills have caught up to the Bengals because it's been the Bengals that have been sitting at home in the month of January, not the Bills the last 2 years. So I'm fascinated by that Bengals-Bills matchup.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt we all are. And by the way, the last season here at Highmark Stadium, who knows where the Bengals fall on the schedule. They are building a new stadium across the street. Before I let you go, what is the update on the Bengals lease? I know that's a big topic in Cincinnati right now. I know that lease is expiring. There's some negotiations. What are they looking for? What's happening there?
June 30th is the date to circle. We'll have a lot of answers by June 30th. So the current lease would be, if the Bengals are planning to pick up the option for a 2 year extension, it would have to be filed by June 30th. And so if they don't pick up an extension, it's an indication that either they have a long-term deal done that they feel really good about, or that's when things are going to start getting really interesting, is if they opt not to take the 2 year option. In their current lease, they have the ability to take multiple 2 year options to stay at their current location. But I know the goal is a long-term deal so that they don't have to take those 2 year extensions, but they still got a lot of work to do. And right now they're not there yet. I don't necessarily think that they're close. I know that a lot of the state money is a big part of the conversation right now. And that's why we're paying attention to what's going on with the Cleveland Browns up there. But, June 30th is the date that's going to give us a lot of answers, because if they end up taking the option, that means they'll have more time to work it out. And that would lead me to believe that they think they're going to be able to get a long-term deal done. But if they don't take the option and there's not a long-term deal in place, that's when things could start getting interesting in terms of talk in Cincinnati. So that's the stadium lease update there.
Kelsey, thank you again. Enjoy today. We'll find out when the Bengals come to Buffalo to take on the Bills in the final year of Highmark Stadium. Great job over there for the Cincinnati Inquirer. If people want to follow Kelsey on Twitter, you can at Kelsey L. Conway. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the day today, and we'll catch up again later.
Thanks so much. You too.
Okay, that is Kelsey Conway. Follow her on Twitter at Kelsey L. Conway. She does a great job covering the Bengals at the Cincinnati Inquirer for them, I should say. Interesting stuff with their stadium situation. June 30th. All right. Well, if they don't take that option, then things are starting to get interesting in Cincinnati, a place where there's always some sort of money talk going on with the Bengals. And now it's with Trey Hendrickson. Good talk there.
Man, he brings like good coaching to the table, like somebody that wants to coach, someone that wants to help us get better. And, you know, I kind of just use today as just asking him, you know, how can I fix my mistakes, or what do I need to see better, or like do I need to slow down? Just really using him to help me kind of get adjusted to the level of play outside.
Bill's first round draft pick, corner Max Harrison, talking about the cornerbacks coach, Jamil Adai. Latest on the schedule release, you heard it from Joe. We got one game announced by NBC, and that'll be the Thursday night opener, Cowboys and Eagles. Fox and Amazon to go today. Maybe we find an Amazon game for the Bills on a holiday, so stay tuned. Bills rookie camp also rolling along, and we got some clips, some highlights of that. We're going to talk to Eric Turner of Cover One, who we like to check in with from time to time. Eric, good morning. Thanks for taking time today. It's Jeremy and Joe.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on to talk some football. Monday football, you know, it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm excited to have the season right upon us.
Eric, I did see NFL, their bio on Twitter now has the bar, like off-season loading, and okay. We're 42% way through the off-season.
Okay.
So we're almost halfway.
Eric, I'd hoped that we would get a Bills Sunday night opener in the 7 o'clock hour so we could say, like, all right, Bills-Ravens, who you got? You know, like start talking matchups. But that's okay. We'll wait. We can wait a couple more days if we have to. So anyway,
I'm so excited. Definitely excited with the schedule release and all the leaks coming out. But also, like I said, I mean, rookie minicamp upon us as well.
Yeah. So, Eric, you know, it's one thing we see a little bit of these guys working out with the Bills and, you know, getting their ultimate, like, evaluations, how it was the first week. And sometimes watching them in practice, you know, you see what you can. You've, of course, done a lot of work on the film. So let's go through some of this Bills class, because the highlight I saw of the weekend, you know, it's not a catch, it's not this or that. It was really about Max Harrison and how he moves, and whether it's the speed or just the overall fluidity, the hip flipping. I saw a million tweets about hip flipping. What are your thoughts on Harrison and his skill set, his strengths, what he brings to this Bills defense in his first year?
I find his play fascinating, especially when you're talking his elite athleticism, the sticky feet, the change of direction. You saw all of that in those clips, and just simple things, like you said, just drills. And so, obviously, that type of athleticism at corner hasn't really been consistently in the Bills' defense. So I think, obviously, he has a different dimension to that cornerback room. But I also love the entire story about him and Dorian Strong and that relationship, because you heard in the clip you guys just played coming back into the segment, you can hear and sense the coachability of Harrison, not just by his coaching staff, but from other players and with Dorian Strong and how they were working together. I found that probably the most fascinating portion of this rookie minicamp, because we know what Harrison can do from his film, from his athleticism and that standpoint. But to hear some of the, you know, the coachability about him should really give Bills fans that excitement and hope that he can develop into what the Bills need at the corner position.
When you look at him as a prospect, like, what do you think the first couple things they might get with him on might be in terms of coaching him, bringing him to whether it's a more complete player, or, you know, what's on the to-do list for the coaches with Harrison?
What's not really talked about a lot is that Harrison came from Kentucky that played primarily a lot of zone coverage. I mean, if you look at some of the stats, Harrison only played man coverage last year over 16% of the time. So you can see that there's some projection on how he could play in the Bills defense and wanting to play more man coverage. But he's a guy that you saw in some of the clips. I think it was Dan Fates that posted a clip of Dorian and Harrison working after practice. Harrison has the ability to play man coverage, but it's more of like that man mirror, that shadowing of a wide receiver. He's not really a physical corner if you're talking press, man coverage, and jam at the line of scrimmage. And that's why I think you saw Dorian Strong, who really major than that physical brand of football at the line of scrimmage, playing in up over 50 games. I mean, he had 1,300 press coverage snaps at Virginia Tech. So he has more of that technique and refined ability at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's where the Bills want to shut down that quick passing game with more man coverage at the line of scrimmage, more press jam at the line of scrimmage to interrupt that press game that they struggle with, or that quick game that they struggled with last year.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what body type they want him at, because as you're talking about press, and when you like the coachability that he might have, how much of that might be the tackling? I mean, Bean called him a willing tackler after the draft, but might be somebody that they feel like, with if he's coachable in this way that we're talking, that they could make him an even better tackler than he was in college.
Yeah, and we can't just focus on last season's tape when it comes to his tackling, because in 2023, when he wasn't injured, he not only was a willing tackler, but he stuck his nose in there in the box and the fringe of the box, and is more than just a willing tackler. He actually made a difference. Last year, he was a little up and down and inconsistent, but I think a lot of that had to do with his injury, you know, his upper body injury. So I do think like that's probably not going to be as big a story as we may have expected, because a lot of us, you know, we're looking at just that last year's film. When you got to look at the college scouting staff, they're looking at the entire film library of these players. So I think they have a pretty good idea. And I think, yes, the weight thing, he likely dropped weight, right, to run fast at the combine, show out there. And so I think that when he talked about at the combine with the staff of playing in the 190 range, I think if he's right around there, I think he'll be just fine.
Eric Turner of Cover One on the Western Hotline. You know, Eric, as you talk about these press covers, man corners, you know, one thing the Bills obviously would be doing defensively is marrying the rush to the coverage. And I wonder if when you kind of step back on the entire offseason and look how they've attacked the front four and look how they've also added these pieces in the secondary, what Bills fans might notice that would be different about the way they approach games this year?
I think when we're talking like the reconstruction of the defense, especially the defensive line, I mean, the size, you heard some of the players talk about it, you know, in the rookie mini camp, and how big the rookie defensive linemen are when you're talking Landon Jackson, when you're talking TJ Sanders and Deion Walker. I think the size that they added is interesting, because for the entire offseason, we're like, hey, they got to add a one tech. When really, yes, they did add sort of a one tech in Walker and the size of a one tech, but his style really fits that attack oriented, that penetration style defense. When you're talking getting up the field and getting after the quarterback, obviously it's a passing league. Obviously the Bills, that's how they kind of focus their defense and the philosophy behind their defense. So adding the size, not just like the 340 pound type guy, but adding the height and the length to still in many ways play like boxes at times and allow these guys to not only use their length and size to keep an eye on the ball, but even their height. Think about it. When you have guys that are, you know, 6'4", 6'6", 6'7", they can not only use their arm length to keep guys at bay as far as the offensive line goes, but they can keep vision on the quarterback. They can keep vision on the running back. So if they need to process run to pass or pass to run, they're able to properly shed or properly disengage from a block to attack the quarterback. The size really stood out when it comes to a draft class as a whole. And I think, you know, when we heard some of these quotes coming out of rookie minicamp, I don't think that was quite the surprise.
It kind of feels like this has been a theme of the offseason, hasn't it, Eric? Like, the Bills are going to be allowed defensively to do a lot of different things schematically, formationally, than they would have had maybe at their disposal last year because of the new personnel?
No doubt. And I think when you mentioned, you know, marrying the coverage and the pass rush, I think they did a great job of doing that with this class. But like you said, the skill sets they added up front and the skill sets they added on the back end really do marry well, because now they can, if they want to, they can isolate corners and have Benford and have Hairston and the cornerbacks play on an island outside, so they can commit more of the front 6, 7 or even 8 at times to stop the run or to, again, rush the passer with 4 or send 5 or 6. I think they can do some things much differently than they have in years past because of the pieces they added in free agency and the draft to whether it's marry the coverage to the rush or kind of disengage the rush from the back end because they have more skill and athleticism on the back end.
Eric Turner, Cover One on the Western Hotline. All right, we've talked the corners. We've talked the defensive line, what they've done there. On the offense, the piece they add that might be the most interesting, I mean, they got a receiver late, they got an offensive lineman late, but also the tight end who, I feel like there aren't many consensus ideas out there, Eric, but consensus best blocking tight end in the class. I didn't see many people dispute that idea. So Jackson Hawes, what can he bring for the Bills as their third tight end, and could we see him be a mainstay as part of their offense over the course of these next couple of years if he is able to hit that role that they drafted him for?
Yeah, I think when you said kind of the consensus of him being the best blocking tight end coming out, I mean, I would have to agree. His tape, when it comes to blocking, whether he is an inline, outside, on the move, on the snap, he is very good at targeting, locking down, and finishing blocks. There's no doubt that is where he hangs his hat. And so when you heard some of this stuff coming out of minicamp of him making some really nice catches, I think that was kind of the pleasant surprise. And that'll allow the Bills in many ways to, if they want to run more 13 personnel, so one running back, three tight ends, he is not just some blocker that's going to be in there. They can run some play action and have him leak out and run some of the underneath stuff. And I think with how much the Bills ran six offensive linemen last year with Alec Anderson, tops in the league, I think now you can kind of blur those lines and, hey, maybe they don't need to use that extra offensive lineman who they probably don't want to throw a pass to all that often, whereas they can insert Hawes there and they can run all the same stuff because he is that talented as a run blocker, but also they can get him out into routes when needed.
Eric Turner with us on the Western Hotline. What about some of the UDFA guys that they brought in, Eric? Is there a guy or a couple of guys that stand out to you, maybe not even to make the team, but that you can kind of guess that Bills fans might fall in love with in training camp in the preseason? Every year we get a training camp hero. Do you see anybody that they brought in that catches your eye?
Yeah, the guy I've been watching a lot recently that I kind of become enamored with is Keonta Jenkins, the linebacker from VaTech. Virginia Tech. I love linebackers, and he's kind of that hybrid former DB that played linebacker, played like as the overhang slot type in Virginia Tech's defense. Very athletic, very fluid mover. Has some warts in coverage and stuff like that, but that he's a developmental prospect. I think they want to kind of mold into a linebacker, and he's going to have to gain a little weight. He's on the lighter side, but his athleticism and movement and where they used him really shows like how athletic he is and how much they depended on him in a role that kind of fits in the Bills defense. He could be in many ways be like a third safety, a third linebacker, but more of that athletic type that you want, jamming tight ends at the line of scrimmage. And he's that type of developmental prospect that probably is a few years away, but if they can start molding him in ways that I know they had brought in Louis Cine, the former Georgia standout, last year, and he got picked up off the team. But I think they want to mold that type of guy, 2 years, 3 years from now. He's a guy that I've been watching a lot of film of just because, one, I love that position, that hybrid linebacker, former DB position and role. And what I know the Bills do love that type of player.
Eric Turner, Cover One. Eric, before I let you go, training camp is when we actually get a chance to look at all this. Is there a positional battle or a rotation you'll be keyed in on more than others just to see how it all plays out at camp, whether it's the secondary, if it's the front four? Do you anticipate maybe more competition than years past?
I think safety is what stands out to me because obviously the investment in Cole Bishop and, the pieces that they brought in this offseason, Taylor Rapp, and as much as they love him, and he's kind of the cornerstone when it comes to the safety position currently, and how much the Bills love him, I do think that, there are times where the health comes into play. And so the safety position for me, bringing in Jordan Hancock, I think he's a guy that fits the Bills scheme very, very well. Guy that played in the slot a lot, but also that slot position in the Bills defense and the safety position share a lot of the similar responsibilities because of how often they play those two high coverages and having to be a part of the run fit. So I think the safety position is going to be fun from a short-term perspective, but also from a long-term developmental perspective, because there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of, development that still needs to happen for some of the younger players.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We got to pivot now because we wanted to play the comments of one Mike North, League Vice President of Broadcast Planning. Maddie and I had him on our instant reaction live stream on the 2025 schedule release last night at 8. He shed some light on some of the decisions, why there were no holiday games for the Bills, why Thursday nights, 2 times for Buffalo. He kind of shed some light on some of the decision-making they made in the room where the 2025 schedule happened. So let's go to that right now.
Mike, the Bills start off the season on a huge stage, a season opener against the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Why did you decide that these two had to match up against each other in the opening week of the season?
Yeah, it's funny. That matchup lived in probably about 30 different homes this year. You get the matchup of the two most recent MVPs and obviously a match that we think is going to have pretty significant playoff implications in the AFC. You could have saved it all the way for December. We looked at schedules where that game was in week 17. We obviously also saw a schedule with that game in week 1. Could have been Sunday night, could have been Monday night, could have been a CBS 425 doubleheader game. It's just one of those, I likened it to a blank Scrabble tile. Like, you could play it anywhere and it works. So love having the flexibility for a game like that. And it enables you to search through different branches of the solution tree where no matter where that game lands, you know it's going to be good. Once it landed on Sunday night of week 1 and we sort of saw the rest of the Sunday night schedule, the rest of the Bills schedule, the rest of the Monday night schedule, the doubleheader schedule, it felt like a really good kind of week 1 continuation of what's going to be a phenomenal set of storylines. You think about Dallas-Philly right out of the gate for kickoff. Kansas City against the Chargers down in Brazil. Big doubleheader game on CBS. Detroit Green Bay. Bring it back with a Monday night game. Chicago Mini. It just felt like that Sunday night or ball buff fell in there, and it felt like it belonged.
And that home game for the Bills in week one, Mike, is part of a clump of home games at the front end here. Four in the first five games at home for the Bills. That's a little bit of an anomaly. We don't see that very often. I had to go back and look. The last time the Bills had that was 1993.
Whoa!
Which is also the last time they went to the Super Bowl.
Once every 30 years, right?
Yeah. What happens there when you have those anomalies?
What happens there, quite honestly, is there's a little bit of randomness to it, obviously. There's also a strategic approach to each of the network partners' schedules. And so, obviously, a Sunday night early for the Bills on NBC, that feels great to NBC. A Thursday night early for Amazon. You guys were the opener for Amazon last year. That week two game against Miami last year was averaging something like 17 million viewers before Tua got hurt. So an opportunity to kind of run that back early in the season for Amazon is a win for them. The game on ESPN, the Monday Nighter, is part of the side-by-side. You know every team wants to get that taste of Buffalo nice and early. Every network likes to get that taste of Buffalo nice and early. And then still, hopefully, you can hang on to a couple of good games down the stretch that are going to be in national windows. The weather starts to turn. Playoff implications increase. You find yourself kind of well-represented on the national television schedule early in the year, but also late in the year with those two Fox doubleheaders down there against Cincy and Philly. So kind of stringing out the Bills' national television games all throughout the year, a few early, a couple sprinkled in the middle, and still hold on to a couple for the end.
The Bills produced some picturesque games at the end of the season in December. The snow is falling. The snowballs are also falling in the sky as fans like to throw them to celebrate touchdowns. And when you look at those games, you kind of think about, wow, Christmas would be perfect in Buffalo, but this season, no Christmas games for the Bills, no holiday games for Buffalo. They miss out again for a third straight season. Why?
Miss out? Are they looking for it? Are you guys looking for it?
I think the fans are looking for it more than anyone.
The fans, I think.
Yeah, look, the truth of the matter is we absolutely saw schedules with the Bills hosting on Christmas. There's no two ways around that. The Cincinnati-Buffalo game was almost our Christmas Day game. Philly-Buffalo ended up in Week 17, just didn't end up on Christmas. That would have been fun. The challenge really is the fact that Christmas is a short week. When you're playing on that Thursday, and every team can play a maximum of two short week games. So if we were going to use Buffalo on Christmas, unless we were going to use them on Amazon, then one of their short weeks was going to be probably on Netflix on Christmas. The other short week was going to be on Amazon, and that would have been Amazon's only shot at the Bills. Mm. And what Amazon is really strategic about, and what we try to, you know, maybe not always accommodate because you can't do everything for everybody, but one of the things that we know they're sensitive about are the teams that they get to have on their schedule twice. And it's rare that you're going to be able for Amazon to get to a Dallas twice, a Kansas City twice. So what's next? I would argue probably right after Dallas and Kansas City, you're probably talking about Philadelphia and Buffalo right now. And so the fact that Amazon gets two Philadelphias and two Buffaloes really strengthens their schedule. And it just so happened then that we use both of those teams multiple short weeks for windows other than Christmas. So did we consider Philadelphia and Buffalo and Cincinnati and everybody else for Christmas? We absolutely did. We landed on three division games for Christmas, and we got the two Buffalo short week games in earlier in the season, and to their benefit, both on Amazon.
Yeah. You touched on it already a little bit, Mike, but the 425 national window games, Bills part of four of those, and I imagine they would be part of this already, but when they pull a number with the Chiefs last year in week 11 of 31.2 million viewers, which was the most watched regular season game excluding holiday games since 2007, I imagine that perks up the ears and eyeballs of the networks, and they say, I'm protecting these games. How much was that a part of the equation here with these 425s?
Yeah, people always talk about, you know, how many primetime games did we get? Like, the truth is that 425 Eastern Time window, it's still our most watched window. We do numbers on Sunday afternoon on CBS and Fox that it's hard to get to in prime time when you start approaching, you know, 11 o'clock Eastern time and fans need to go to sleep. They got to go to work the next day. So that 4:25 Sunday afternoon window is still our high watermark. And while we are indeed busy making sure that the primetime partners all have really good games, you know, at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday for our international partners, good game for our streaming partners, we can't forget, right? We can't lose sight of the fact that our biggest window, our most viewership still comes from Sunday afternoon at 4:30. So you got to make sure that every weekend it feels like there's a big game sitting there on a Sunday afternoon at 4:30, and having the Bills in four of them is a testament to the strength of the brand, the star power of the quarterback. I don't believe, as I sit here today, I'll have to check to remind myself, but I don't think anybody's got more 4:25 games than the Bills.
There will be a couple huge games for Buffalo to close out the season at home, and that's because it's the farewell season at Highmark Stadium. They opened their doors in 1973, and this is going to mark the final season before the Bills move over to the new Highmark Stadium right across the street. Why was it so important to have a couple games at the end of the season at home?
Yeah, I'm not sure we set out necessarily at the very beginning to ensure that there was multiple home games in the final weeks of the season, but we were certainly cognizant when we sat down and started this process. Okay, what are some of the targets that we want to be sure to hit? What are some of the games that are must-see TV, gotta land in national windows? And what are some of the storylines that, you know, we'd like to make sure get the attention that they deserve? And obviously one of them was the closing of the stadium. There's been times when we've really kind of leaned into the last game in some of our buildings. There's also been times where, quite frankly, I think maybe we kind of whiffed on it. So given this, you know, unique set of circumstances with the Bills and their building, a week 18 home game, obviously if you're going to have one, it's going to be against the division opponent. Could have made a great case for any of them, New England, Miami, or the Jets, but a Jets-Bills game just kind of feels like the right way to, you know, give that building a proper send-off. So hopefully that game has significant playoff implications, and if it does, don't be shocked at all if we find it, you know, moving to a national window. That last game in week 18 at the building could be played Saturday 4:30 or 8 o'clock, could be Sunday 1, Sunday 4:25, or with any luck, it's, you know, Jets Bills for the AFC East, and we move it to Sunday night at 8:30 and get some of that snow you were talking about.
Yeah, you did that a couple of years ago with Bills Dolphins for the division title down in Miami.
That's a good one.
Got flexed to Sunday Night Football, and you may not have even been aware of this, but the last game in the first season in this stadium in the regular season was Bills Jets.
How about that? See that? Who says
the perfect bow on it? You guys know what you're doing, Mike. Thanks so much for the time. We're so excited for this farewell season in Highmark Stadium. Some incredible home games will be played at Highmark. We can't wait for it. Thanks, Mike.
Absolute pleasure. Take care.
All right. So that's Mike North last night on our instant reaction show to the 2025 schedule. Some interesting thoughts there.
I've heard they've begun to look around for a senior advisor to work with Kevin Adams. And I heard this person will report to Kevin Adams, but they'll work with Kevin Adams. And it's someone who's been in the GM chair before, or someone who's been in a big chair before. That's what they're looking for, to add some experience to their front office. But they will report to Adams. Adams reports to Terry Pegula.
Elliot Friedman on the Sabres. It is schedule release day in the NFL. We're going to get a thought in here on Lou Lamoriello and, you know, reports about him. But we'll keep you updated on what's going on with the schedule release, because it's starting to really flow now. We've got a Bills game week 3, which is going to be September 18th, right?
Yeah.
The opener is the 7th. Week 2 is the 14th. On September 18th, Bills-Dolphins, Thursday Night Football. Here,
which my favorite part of is that it probably means that the road Miami game is going to be in a month that isn't 10 billion degrees.
Yeah,
maybe you can. Sometimes it'll be close together, but I would predict that Miami is going to be later in the year.
Be a good year to take the Miami trip. You got to do it.
Yep, especially if it's in November or December.
But I am actually efforting people that could make things happen to try and make this Carolina trip happen. It's just got to happen during golf season. So leak me that Bills Carolina game. I need to know the day. Start booking tee times to the Western Hotline. Gil Martin of Locked On Islanders is joining us here. We're talking about Lou Lamoriello real quickly to see if it's a good idea, terrible idea.
Who we think is in town.
We think
there was a sighting.
Yes, it's either a lookalike or it's him. Gil, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
We're all right. You know, we're our life is waiting for the Sabres to make the playoffs and waiting for the Bills' schedule to be released. That's pretty much where we live right now. Right.
Waiting to wait.
That's right. So, Gil, Lamoriello is maybe in town. He's cut loose by the Islanders. How did his tenure there go?
You know, it started off really well in that he made a great coaching hire in Barry Trotz. The Islanders made the playoffs in 2020 and 2021. They went all the way to the conference final. But then the last 4 years, it kind of petered out, and Lou did not make the best adjustments to keep things going, basically.
In terms of what he... like differences between what he was in New York versus maybe previous stops, him being old school, but also maybe being aggressive. Like, I don't know. How would you summarize like the style of GM that he was when he was with the Islanders?
You know, the thing about Lou was this, he wanted to make the playoffs every year, but at the same time, he prevented this team from having the chance to retool and change the core when the core wasn't working anymore and the team was kind of stuck in the muddy middle. So it was like he was a dog chasing his tail to try to catch eighth place in the conference and sneak into the playoffs.
Does that almost make it sound like then, like as you say that, this has kind of been one of my critiques of the Islanders too over the years, is why are you putting so much effort? I mean, they went, 4 years without a first-round pick? Like, they kept trading their draft picks to try to push in, but here in Buffalo, it's a 14-year playoff drought, and honestly, squeaking into the eighth spot sounds like a
wonderful
dream come true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, look, I think Lou could help a team like the Sabres get into playoff contention and make the playoffs. The problem Lou has had, both the end of his tenure in New Jersey, the end of his tenure in Toronto, is that, you know, he's not going to get you beyond that wild card area while he depletes the farm system and sacrifices the future. To Lou, there's no difference between being a dominant team and being a wild card team, because once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. That is sort of his motto. But at the same time, it prevented the Islanders from becoming more than a wild card team.
Gil Martin with us on the Western Hotline. Locked on Islanders, also locked on NHL as the playoffs roll along. Check that out, too. Lamoriello, so he has a reputation, and the Sabres are looking for not a GM, but a senior advisor. And so, Gil, if you can almost help me connect these dots, piece this together. It's kind of weird that, so they're looking for a veteran GM for that job, but he'll report to Kevin Adams. As Elliot Friedman just put out in that clip we played coming in. And the first report was from Dave Pagnotta that, okay, well, he's not interested in senior advisor, which when I saw that, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. He's not going to report to Kevin Adams. But if he is in town, like, doesn't that just feel weird to you? Like, Lamoriello's reputation and whether that connects with somebody that would be in that role as opposed to, you know, being in more control of the whole hockey department.
I could, you know, the thing is this, right now there are also rumors here that Lou could be up for a similar advisory role with the Islanders after his contract expires. So that may be what he's being offered, and I do get the feeling that Lou Lamoriello wants to work in some capacity somewhere in the NHL, and I think that's sort of his priority one.
Okay. Gil Martin locked on Isles on the tenure of Lou Lamoriello.
Who's the first pick going to be?
You know, it's hard to say when you don't know who the GM is yet, but I think that Matthew Schaefer is the favorite at this point.
All right. Thanks, Gil.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Keep updated on the Sabres pursuit here. Have a couple pieces, the Amerks play today, by the way. Amerks and Montreal?
Laval.
So Laval.
Laval's basically in Montreal, right, though. Right. It's like the Orchard, be like calling the Bills the Orchard Park Bills.
Yeah, the Amerks have game one tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.